Please be seated. As you might have noticed, today we celebrate the Feast of the Transfiguration. Transfiguration is one of only a very small number of feasts that can be celebrated on the Sunday. So we are fortunate to keep it this year on this morning. And I'm struck how the Transfiguration has such strong visual images, which in fact you can see here in our Transfiguration window if you want to take a look at it. But those images include a mountaintop, radiant light, a cloud, a voice, the appearance of Moses and Elijah, and the disciples, three of them, who are there and who are terrified by the experience. In today's collect of the day, we prayed, "Mercifully grant that we, being delivered from the disquietude of this world, may by faith behold the King in his beauty." Now, I don't know about you, but disquietude is not a word I typically use, not one I actually hear said very often. And yet, as I thought about that word, I thought how much that word, disquietude, communicates. Disquietude is a feeling or a state of uneasiness, of anxiety. Disquietude is not comfortable. I don't think any of us want to live with disquietude. And yet, sadly, there is so much disquietude in our world. So many people live in a state of uneasiness and anxiety, disquietude about economic injustice, access to health care, white supremacy and racist policies. The LGBTQ community worries about losing hard-won rights. Many suffer with serious illness or grief over the loss of a loved one. And I think most of us have worry about the state of our political system. And then, of course, it's getting harder and harder to deny the realities of climate change any place in the world, which I think is causing uneasiness as well as outright danger and displacement. So the world is full of disquietude, of uneasiness about so many things. For many, there's a deep sense of anxiety. Maybe you feel it too. And the thing about it is it touches all aspects of our lives. It's about everything that I can think about, including, you know, we have our own concerns here in this parish. Concerns about how we were changed by the pandemic. We are discerning God's call to us in an altered world, in an age of disquietude. And we pray with today's collect that God will indeed mercifully deliver us from the disquietude of this world, that we might by faith behold Jesus in his glory, glory that will heal and transform us, glory that will lead us into God's truth. While we know disquietude, while we might be living with uneasiness and even anxiety, this is not a new state for the people of God. It has happened many times in the past. Throughout the ages of the church's history, people of faith have known anxiety, stress, even outright fear, even persecution. And always, in all things, in all times, God is present, sustaining and strengthening God's people, leading them to the beauty of God's glory. But to do that, the people must listen. The people must hear God and then follow God's call. And that brings us to our first lesson today, where Moses is leading the people through the wilderness, and there have been some struggles recently. Things have not gone so well. We hear how Moses comes down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand. Those tablets inscribed with the Ten Commandments. Those commandments that express how the people are invited into covenant with God. God promises to lead and care for the people, And in turn, the people promise to love and be faithful to God. But the thing about it is, this is not the first time this has happened. This is not the first time Moses brings tablets down the mountain to the people. And the people have not been always faithful through this process. Just two chapters earlier in the book of Genesis, from what we heard today, Moses also is called by God up the mountain and is instructed by God while there. And then God inscribes the Ten Commandments on two tablets of stone. And Moses is with God for 40 days and 40 nights on that mountaintop. That's a long time. And while Moses is on that mountaintop, the people become increasingly anxious. They become uncertain. Is Moses going to come back? They know disquietude. They fear Moses isn't going to return, but will abandon them. Maybe even God will abandon them. They become convinced they're going to starve or die of thirst out there in the wilderness. And so in their worries about what's going to happen to them, about whether Moses is going to come back, they turn their gold ornaments into a calf, and they worship it. Up on the mountain, God tells Moses what has happened, and God and Moses are not happy. Moses implores God to show the people mercy. And Moses goes down the mountain and commands the people to stop their worship of the golden idol, and in anger throws down those tablets and destroys them. And then Moses destroys the idol in fire, grinds it up into a powder, puts it in water, and they all drink. The people drink the ashes of their folly, and they repent of their sin. After this happens, Moses is summoned by God back up the mountain, and God says that God will write again the commandments on two new stone tablets. And while Moses is on that mountaintop with God, Moses worships God, Moses talks with God, and then Moses dares to ask to see God. Now, God says that Moses cannot see God's face and live. The glory of God is too much for humanity. But Moses is allowed to see the back of God. And that brings us to today's lesson, because Moses comes down the mountain with those two tablets, the new ones. But what he doesn't know is, after seeing God, his face glows. He is radiant with God's glory. And the people are afraid of this. Just that much of God's glory is too much for them. They can't handle it. And so Moses covers his face with a veil so they don't see his glowing skin. Seeing Moses, the people are afraid of God's glory, because living by God's glory means following in God's ways. It means accepting the difficult journey ahead. It requires being present in the trials that are faced. The people might as well prefer their disquietude, even their fear, to that hard work of accepting God's glory, of walking in God's ways. As I say, the people have struggled in this journey. It's been hard. Yes, God freed them from slavery under Pharaoh in Egypt, brought them through the Red Sea. But now they're in the wilderness, and they're going to the promised land, but it's hard. There is challenge, and God is calling the people to be changed in significant ways. And sometimes the people resist. They even engage in nostalgia, that particular kind of memory which is very selective. They remember, oh, the days of Egypt. Remember the food? We had cucumbers. We had leeks. They forget they were enslaved. Leading this journey through the wilderness that Moses is leading them on, following God faithfully, is hard work. It's hard to trust God. And they struggle with it, even though this is the path of liberation. This is their Exodus journey. This is how they are set free for life with God. In our gospel today, as we heard, Jesus takes Peter and James and John up on the mountain where he is transfigured, his raiment dazzling white, He talks with Moses and Elijah. And then a cloud overshadows them, and there's a voice saying, "This is my son, my chosen, listen to him." The disciples are terrified when they enter that cloud, and that doesn't surprise me. Peter doesn't know quite what to say about this experience, so he suggests building three booths, enshrining this moment. Maybe he's thinking, we can stay here a while. But Jesus has other ideas. Luke tells us that Moses and Elijah appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. They are talking with Jesus about going on to Jerusalem, where he will suffer, be killed on the cross, die, and be raised on the third day. Now, I found it interesting in the original Greek, that word that is translated for us as departure. In the Greek, that word is exodus. That should mean something to us, because that's the same word that's used for God leading the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. It's telling us that what Jesus accomplishes through his death and resurrection is also exodus. It is a journey of liberation. It is moving from slavery to freedom, from death to life. In the Transfiguration, the disciples see the glory of Jesus, his divinity shining through his humanity, the divine light shining in him. They see, for that moment, the full nature of Jesus in his glory. But that glory that radiates from Jesus on the mountaintop is all about his being beloved, the Son, the Chosen. This is no easy glory. It's about humbling himself in servanthood. It's the glory that comes through suffering and abandonment. It's the glory that's about giving up one's life for eternal life. The disquietude and challenges of this life are the path that we walk, and in them we are sharing in his suffering, sharing in his passion, so that we too can be changed into glory. The disciples that day are transformed by those amazing events on the Mount of Transfiguration. They glimpse divinity. For a moment, they see eternity. God's promise is revealed that God becomes human in the person of Jesus to lift humanity to the divine life. The promise is comfort when we know disquietude and uncertainty, when life weighs us down with anxiety. The promise is God is with us in those moments, that God's glory breaks through the darkness of those times, gives meaning to what we experience, sustains and strengthens us to face the reality. And the promise is that God always calls to us in these times, showing us the way through the wilderness to the land of promise. God's glory illumines our path. God's divine light fills us, that we might reflect God's glory to other people, sustaining them. And so walking by this light, no matter what befalls us, we are with God in Christ through the Holy Spirit always. So in this time of disquietude, of worry and fear, Jesus today says to us, be not afraid. The glory of God we glimpse with those disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration, God promises will be ours. God is with us always in power stronger than any force in this world. And God calls us to the path that is ours to walk, that path of divine love, that path that will lead all to healing, by which we are transformed into glory. Until at the last, we will come to the fullness of God's beauty in eternity, that place where we see God face to face and live. Amen.